And so when someone gives you a word of prophecy, there is a spirit-to-spirit connection, small s to big S, spirit-to-spirit connection that can test that to say, is this of the Lord? Is this of the Lord? I was in a gathering one time, I don't know, a few years back, and there was a man, it was a prophetic ministry. This is out in Harrisburg. He was in prophetic ministry, and he was doing some things, and there was a young man who went up on, for prayer and for ministry, and he brought this guy up on stage, and there was this connection that was happening. It seemed like God was really speaking and moving, but he prophesied to this guy, and he said, "You're dating a young lady right now, and God wants you to marry her." I just thought to myself, whoa, that's some dangerous stuff you're messing with right there. You know, like, so let's test that. Do we see his wife named in scripture? Nope. Do we have any idea who this girl is? No, not at all. Do we know who this young man is? No, not at all. So if this is the word of the Lord, that means that this is the only place that this has to rest now is in the community of the saints to affirm that and to say yes. I was really encouraged. This church really has their act together. There were elders who were there as well, who were not inactive. They weren't just participants, but they were actually engaged in this. And they actually went up. They sort of huddled with this guy and talked to this young man. And he said, you know, he just got a word. And these elders did know this young man. You know, I'm standing there and going, I don't think you should be saying that. And I'm disconnected completely. These elders, though, went up and they actually formed a circle, got around this young man, got with this prophetic leader, and he and they talked for a little bit, 2 or 3 minutes. This was not resting in any of their spirits. It did not rest in his spirit. And this prophet, it was very cool to see. This prophetic leader got up and said, I repent of what I just said. What I just offered was something that I felt and that I thought, but I did not check it with the Holy Spirit before I communicated it to this young man. So I repent. I ask your forgiveness. You know, and it was fantastic. I'd never seen anything like it in my whole life. A church deal with something just that honestly. That's exactly the kind of work that Paul is calling us to here in the pages of 1 Corinthians. It is that kind of awareness, that kind of engagement. There's also the truth of this. You should, in my opinion, the only time that you should ever say anything that's even close to thus saith the Lord is if you're reading the Bible. Everybody got that? The only time that you should even come close to saying a phrase like that thus saith the Lord is when you're reading the Bible. So, my friends at New Beginnings, thus saith the Lord, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. I've got no problems in my conscience beyond that, or in that. Beyond that, I now have to be very careful. I now have to be very careful about how I present myself, especially if it's on a personal thing. You know, I would never say to Glenn, God wants you to do this, unless it's something that is in the scripture. God wants you to be honest, Glenn. All right, that's the word of the Lord to Glenn. God bless you. You know, but I would never, you know, I would never say to Glenn, you know, God wants you to go home and cut a big check to a ministry in California that I'm going to send you a website about. No. Now that may or may not be what God wants, and God might put that on me some. But I would never do that. I'd say, Glenn, let me test something with you. I was thinking about you. I was praying for you. This is what God put on my heart. What do you think? Is this the Lord? Is this not the Lord? How can we continue to walk in this together? That's good prophecy. Because it's keeping humans human, and it's keeping the Holy Spirit at the center. Right? That's what I just did. Glenn, here's a something that I have that I think I might have for you. You know, what do you think about this? Let's test this together. How are we going to test that? With me and Glenn? Well, that's not going to get much done. But if we put the Holy Spirit here, say, Glenn, let's talk to the Holy Spirit about this together. What do you think? And prophecy works so well in that regard, particularly when it comes to like engaging people in the community that you're with regularly. So that, honestly, folks, like writing a check is relatively easy. You know, if you have it and God tells you to give it, then you give it. But let's get down to more nitty gritty things like fear. You know, that's a tough spot, or discouragement. It's for me to sit down with somebody who I can obviously tell is off on a Sunday morning and put my arm around him and say, brother, you just don't seem right today. Is God saying something here? Or what's God trying to, I am now prophesying, but I'm doing so not with a roar, but rather I am coming with the encouragement and consolation of the Holy Spirit that says, what is the word of the Lord to you today? God brought me to you to encourage you, to prophesy to you. But that doesn't mean that that's going to come with bells and whistles. That doesn't mean it's going to come with some massive, incredible word that God brings. It simply means that God is shaping, moving, and shifting things in the Spirit, and he wants to release the power of his word. So by doing it this way, by engaging it like this, that enables us to, when it becomes about being right or wrong, we're sort of stuck in a polarized dichotomy, right? Or either we're either good or bad. We're either in or out, either right or wrong. Rather, I think what we see in the pages of Scripture particularly is that the nature of prophecy is to be willing to be in the journey with someone. The nature of prophecy is to be willing to be in the journey with someone. Now, God might gift you and enable you to be in the journey with someone that you've never journeyed with before to that point. And that's all right. God does that sometimes, and it's an amazing thing. You know, but your ability to be prophetic is not about being right or wrong. It's rather about being present. And it's about being engaged in the story. I'm positive by now Keith has probably taken you to Revelation 19:10. Has he done that? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Right? What is the testimony of Jesus? It's the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the story of Christ. So the question on every level and at every turn is, how is the story of Jesus manifesting itself and wanting to be known in this place, with this person, with this church, on this land, whatever that might be? I'm being very, very prophetic tonight with you. But my goal isn't to bring Jay's words. My goal is to say, God, what is New Beginning's story? And how is that engaging your story right now as they think about what it means for them to listen to your word and to earnestly desire to prophesy to one another? I mean, if I were to have started the night by saying, who here wants to be an encouragement to the people in this room? All your hands would go up. Who here wants to comfort one another? All your hands would go up. Right? Who here wants to edify and build up their brothers and sisters? All your hands would go up. Then I could just say, prophesy. Let's pray. Go home. It's basic like that. But we have to let prophecy be pulled away from this crazy charismania engagements that we think about or that we hear or the stuff that we see on TV or whatever that might be, and let God wash it, purify it, cleanse it, and return it to just letting the text speak for itself and tell us what prophecy is, so that then we can move in that. What's that?
How do I do that?
Which part?
Wash it up. Wash out all that. I mean, and a lot of us in here have this old...
Yeah. Right.
How do I wash that, get rid of that, and come back?
All right, man.
Ready for work.
Well, Colleen, you just... Do we want to go here? Is that
sure.
Is that all right? Because this is a rabbit trail worth going down, but it's going to be a long rabbit trail. No. It's a beautiful question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your question is actually a prophetic question, because What is it that the scriptures tell us washes us? God's word. That's right. That's right. So your question of how do we cleanse the word, the answer is by God's word. Now, I just don't want to give you, it's like saying Jesus in Sunday school. You know what I mean? But we can tease this out some more, I think, that in a way that might be helpful. All right. Because another thing that's not in there, I remember your question from the very first night. Another word that's not in here, seek prophecy, edification, encouragement, and consolation. Foretelling is not in there. Like telling the future is not. But everybody, when you think about prophecy, that's generally where a lot of people, especially from a past season, you know, we think of.
We could use a different word.
That'd be nice, right?
We'd all probably be totally with it.
Yeah, right. It's what the text gives us. Yeah, yeah. So everybody go to, let's use the Ephesians 4. Go to Ephesians 4. Because this is really crucial and an excellent, excellent question.
You know, like sometimes, depending on talking to, I'll say Tim is our mentor.
There you go.
Versus apostle. Because yep. If I say apostle, people get all, their heads go all over the place. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And some terms are not worth fighting for yet. Like apostles, one of them. You know, like we don't put that on Netzer's website. Tim's clearly apostolic. I'm clearly prophetic. It's why he and I work together well in Netzer. But we're not calling either one of us apostle under our name. Our caption is not apostle and prophet. You know, he's networking and vision, and I'm direction and leadership. But that's prophetic. And his is apostolic.
But,
you know.
But if people can just receive that better.
You're right.
People can move forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Not being deceiving. It's just.
Not at all.
It's just saying it in a way people understand.
Mm-hmm. But some words are worth redeeming. And I think that the word prophecy and prophesy is one of them. Another word worth receiving, you ready for this one? Is the word member. The word member is worth saving. We've made. Like membership into, everybody's calling it anything these days, partnerships, ownerships, friendships, you know, like I'm a friend of this church. I really know about churches like this. And that's their, we are the what of Christ? The body, the bride and the body. We are the bride, we are the body of Christ. Paul says that a body is made up of what?
Members.
Members.
But we don't use that much.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I hear.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not saying, maybe I'm bringing some old stuff with me, but I think there's part, members is part.
Well, I agree. We think of membership as being part of a club, right? We think of membership as sign on the dotted line, you're in. That is not the biblical concept of membership. The biblical concept of membership is a piece of you. Here's a question for you. You know, like, Barry, which arm would you rather lose, your right or your left? Yeah, right. But you still wouldn't want to live without it, right? And you sure would miss it a lot. You know, you're flying on an airplane. The pilot comes over. We got to download one wing. Which one do you prefer, folks? You know, like that's you just simply need all the members of the plane to get there, and you need all the members of the body to be whole and healthy. So membership has nothing to do with clubship or signing on a dotted line at all. It's got everything to do with vitality and health. And strength and goodness, you know. So there are some words in this season that are worth fighting for. Prophecy is one of them. That was a rabbit trail off the rabbit trail. This is going to be a fun night. All right, when that kind of stuff starts happening, verse 20. That is not how you learned Christ. Bunch of nastiness he just talked about, right? Sexual immorality and. Dirty speech and all kinds of junk and we're in verse 17, verse 20. Ephesians 4, verse 20. Yeah, thank you. That is not the way that you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Here we go. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Flip over a few more pages, a few pages back to the book of Colossians. Verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in what? In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, so that you may be filled with his will. That you might be filled with his will, with spiritual wisdom and power. That spiritual wisdom and power is found in Jesus. That spiritual wisdom and power is found in the Word of God. Right, those things that have been ill-defined in our past, those things that have been poor, negative experiences, you know, those things still carry a loud voice. They're part of who we are, and they're part of where we come from. And some of those things are grand and glorious. You know, I'm not at all in line with the doctrine of the Baptist church that I grew up in, but I'm telling you, on Wednesday nights, nobody could sing four-part harmony a cappella like we could. It was incredible. You know, it was like the heavens were opening, and that was great. So on the one hand, is this, on some levels, false teaching about how we please God. On the other hand, is this incredible experience of worship together, you know? And so, like, letting this be our story and letting both of these things come with us into where we are now is very important. This is very true in couples counseling. Like when a married couple hits a rocky spot, what they generally want to do is fix it and move on. And that's impossible. You can't do that. A, because people aren't problems that are meant to be fixed. No person is a problem. And fixing it is the wrong way to think about redemption. But for a couple who has hit a hard spot, you know, there's that desire, can we just move into something better? Well, sure you could move into something better. But you're still going to move into something better from the posture that you're currently in, which happens to be two people who just deeply hurt each other. And so now this experience is going to continue to walk with you. It's going to continue. It's not going to rule you. It's not going to own you, but it's part of your story. Trying to get rid of that is not going to help. But you can learn to view it differently. You can learn to see it differently. It doesn't have to be what it always was. I remember 10 years ago, I just had this conversation the other day. 10 years ago, I was in a counseling situation with a couple where there was infidelity, and it was very hurtful. It was really rough. And we at our church, we got them some professional counseling and some help, and this couple walked through a really difficult process, and they re-engaged our church, and they came back in, and things were okay, but things were still really rocky, as you can imagine they would be. But this couple just kept journeying, and they kept walking. And they started coming up with this phrase. They invented this phrase where when they would start to view one another wrongly, they would just simply say to each other, that's not you. So when there were going to begin to be harsh words, or where there was resentment, or where there was shame, or where there was guilt, and after a while, they would start to catch themselves. They would say, that's not me. You know, like, he would get very fearful, you know, when he wasn't around her. And so he would be controlling. But then there would be the awareness of, that's not me. I have forgiven. I have walked forward into newness. So I am not going to define the experience of my wife according to the past. Rather, I'm going to still recognize that this happened, be aware of it, but I'm going to choose again in this moment to be present with her and to love her for where we are now. What he's doing there is he is activating the Word of God through love, which is willing to believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things, which is what he had to do. He is willing to activate the Word of God and cleanse his wife and cleanse their relationship.